more of Lake Effect Now. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. From Ferguson to New York to Milwaukee's Red Arrow Park and in other places, a lot has happened in the past year that has caused the relationship between the police and regular citizens to erode.
Writer Adam Planiga doesn't expect his new book to completely change that, but he'd like it if the book, called 400 Things Cops Know, did help people better understand what police officers go through every day. And he hopes the cops might gain something from the exercise of introspection.
Planiga is a sergeant for the San Francisco Police Department, but before that, he served for 7 years on the Milwaukee Police Department, and before that, he was an English major at Marquette. Planiga joined us recently on a trip to Milwaukee to speak at his alma mater. Welcome to Lake Effect.
Thank you very much for having me.
Is it hard to have a sense of humor about yourself when you are a cop?
I don't think so. I guess my take on it is I don't take myself that seriously, but I take the work very seriously, and some of the stuff you have to laugh at. You just have to.
Does the humor of it strike you while you're out in the field on the force, or is it mainly when you get back in and you're decompressing and trying to make sense of what you experienced out there?
Oftentimes, right when it happens, you realize this is very funny. Sometimes it's sort of sad and funny, but a lot of times you sort of talk about it with your partner afterwards. You think, wow, did that just happen? And then, you know, when you have time to sort of decompress, because, some of these things you don't want to laugh in front of people, but the time that's in the patrol car when you leave the scene, that's all your own. So sometimes you have a pretty good laugh about some of these things.
You do relate some missteps in your career in a number of places in this book, some things that in retrospect are kind of amusing. And I would think these are the kinds of stories that would get out among your fellow officers, whether you want them to or not. So there's something to owning these stories.
Yeah, I wanted to get out in front of them. I mean, it's, police work is a strange, volatile business. There's going to be missteps. You chronicle them and then you learn from them. So I don't want to try to portray myself as some sort of police expert. I've had a lot of things that I've learned in this book. I've kind of learned the hard way by making mistakes.
Where did the book start for you? When did you decide you knew 400 things?
I've always considered myself sort of a student of the game. So over my police career, I've been scribbling notes in the margins of notebooks, and when a smart cop did or said something smart, I take notice of it. So I just sort of chronicle all this stuff, and there was a time when I realized, hey, maybe I should try to assemble this into a book. Maybe I have something here.
Well, and you come from a creative writing background, having graduated with honors from Marquette. What drew you to police work?
I've been interested in being a police officer since I was a kid. I think just something about zooming around, catching bad guys, standing up to bullies always appealed to me. I got into a social work for a time, joined the Jesuit Volunteer Corps out of college, but that pull of being a big city cop never really left me. So I think I came from a service-related household and just wanted to have a job where I thought there might be some good stories as an English major, and I think I was right about that.
The heavy lifting that goes on in our writing program is more metaphorical than it is literal. Did people on either end of the divide look at you sideways, the writing types, when they found out your chosen line of work, and likewise your fellow officers in the police force, knowing that you came from an English background?
My fellow officers have been pretty kind. Sometimes you'll get a comment, something like, hey, writer boy, put this in your book. but they've been kind, and if I talk about them, they just want to make sure their names are spelled correctly. So,
well, and someone who reads this book and has been a police officer would get something much different from someone with no police background. What do you hope that cops or former cops see in this book?
My hope is that the book will relate to the police experience no matter where they're a cop. I think urban police work has sort of a uniformity to it. So if there's something in the book that's a takeaway for a cop on the street, that's great. If I got something wrong, I trust someone will tell me. But I've gotten some pretty kind responses from cops. A lot of cops have said, this is how it is. You've portrayed things the way they are. And I didn't want to sort of overly sanitize it. I mean, some of the things in the book don't make police officers look that great, but I thought that by portraying the way things actually are, that I'd be doing the job a service.
Well, and at the same time, there has been a lot in the popular culture recently that hasn't made police officers look so great. Would you want people who are not cops to get something different from this book? Is there something to demystifying what goes on when you're a police officer?
Well, I think one of the reasons I wrote the book is to give the general public an idea of what urban law enforcement is all about, because I think most people, you know, they might report a car break-in or get a traffic ticket, but other than that, they may not know what cops do all day or what the job is like or what the job feels like. So my hope is that the book gives them some insight into that, sort of peeling back the curtain to see how it works.
There are a lot of points in this book where you describe where reality diverges from the police work we see on television.
Right.
Do you find yourself just when you see a cop show, are you screaming at the television?
Yeah, all the time. Sometimes I scream at the TV and then I feel a little embarrassed. I mean, because who does that? But, I mean, cop shows, their job is to entertain people. If they showed the way things actually are, it'd be a lot of cops drinking bad coffee and writing police reports and who wants to watch that? But a little attention to verisimilitude goes a long way in my book. So,
one of the other points that you make is that on police shows, you'll see a police officer tell a suspect to drop the gun, and then they'll warn him again. And I think this is the point at which you said, you know, cops watching this show would be yelling at their TV set because that's not the way things play out.
Right. You're trained if you're confronted with an imminent life-threatening situation like someone pointing a gun at you that you have to respond right away. You don't want to give the bad guy a head start. If you have cover, you may be able to issue warnings. But other than that, your suspect has sort of forced your hand because if you wait, then you're probably not going home that day.
Well, and this is really one of the most thought-provoking sections of this book, for at least for someone who is not a policeman, is the section on the use of force, which is a really sensitive issue for a lot of people right now.
Yeah, and I don't expect the cops don't expect the general public to be use of force experts. So we need to be transparent about that stuff and explain why we're doing what we're doing. Whether it be just a witness who sees the police use force, just explaining to that person why you did what you did. Sometimes that only takes 10 seconds. That goes a long way. Or town hall meetings. Sometimes police chiefs will hold that to explain something. We have to do that. We have to explain why we're doing what we're doing to the public.
Well, and in fact, you're right that there really is no such thing as a routine fight with a police officer.
And it's important to differentiate. Most people that sort of grapple with the police are doing so to escape, to get away. And that's a very different type of force than someone who's actually coming at you and engaging you. Those people are very dangerous, and you're trained to assume that they're going to try to take your gun or use it against you or your partner, and you have to ratchet up your use of force because it's your job to take that person to custody as quickly as possible.
How do you view the time leading up to an interaction with a suspect or someone who might be a suspect? I mean, there's a lot of room for error right up until the point that you have this interaction.
Yeah, there is. And, you know, sometimes you can go too hard at someone. Sometimes you can go too soft at someone. But you're looking for indicators. There's a lot of stuff out there that are called pre-attack postures. So if you're walking up to someone and they're clenching their fists, if they're wiping their hands and their pants, if they're looking around as if to try to find an avenue for fight or flight, as a cop, you have to be in tune to that stuff because it's going to dictate how the interaction may go and whether it's going to lead to violence.
Police work is one of those professions that it strikes me that there's not a lot of margin for learning as you go. By the time you are put on the streets as a police officer, you are expected to be the authority. Realistically, though, how long does it take you to go from someone who's fresh out of the academy, if you will, to someone who really owns the job?
That is a great question. You know, I think most cops will say it takes about 6 to 8 months before you feel like a real cop. But they say it takes about 5 years before you really become sort of an effective street cop because by that point, you've seen quite a few things. But yeah, those early days are tough. You know, you're wearing the uniform, but you don't feel like a cop. You feel like an imposter, and you're operating with sort of this confidence that you in no way really feel. So you sort of bluff your way through in those early days.
You watch a hockey game, say, and there's a young player, maybe a young goalie, and they say they're never really in the game until they've had to make their first couple of tough saves. Does it take dangerous scenarios for you to feel more like you know what you're doing?
I think so. You know, there's another saying that you're not a real street cop until you've been punched in the face. And sometimes you have to sort of learn that stuff the hard way. And, you know, being in a scuffle like that teaches you that people can be really dangerous and you have to watch yourself.
There's a whole section of this book on working with juveniles, kids. in some ways, this has to be among the hardest parts of what you do.
Yeah, it is. You know, you deal with a lot of kids who are coming from unworkable family situations. Kids that you look at them, you think that, you know, that kid's probably doomed. The deck is stacked against him. Maybe dad's in jail, mom's on drugs. And it is one of the hardest things to deal with as a cop. And, you know, you do what you can with kids. You know, you don't treat them like adults. You try to give them a little room to operate. But, that probably is one of the most frustrating things about being a police officer. You see sort of generations upon generations of kids that it's like they're trying to muscle their way out of quicksand.
For some kids that you deal with, their attitudes towards the police are informed by the run-ins that they've seen their parents have with them.
Sure. You have kids as young as 7 who will tell you to F off because that's what their parents have taught them. That's how you talk to the police. And that it's hard to know exactly what to do with that.
At the same time, you write every once in a while you'll run into a kid who wants your autograph.
It seems sort of old-fashioned to me, like the kind of thing kids used to do and maybe don't do as much anymore. But and, you know, you try not to write off kids. Some of these kids do make it. You know, everyone's sort of a goofball when they're a kid. I was a turkey when I was a kid, too. So some of the stuff you just grow out of. So you hope that they do.
How much does being able to write this stuff affect your ability to maybe get it out of your system? I mean, there's you know, the anecdote you relate, the idea of the girl who's out there skipping rope one day and then the next day she's gone because she's been, you know, hit by stray gunfire.
I think writing helps me sort of process some of this stuff, sort of make it take some form, sort of categorize it. And I think it helps me become a better police officer because I'm sort of thinking about these things maybe more than I would be if I wasn't writing. But in terms of seeing some of the hard things on the job, you know, it helps to have a healthy family situation to come back to. I married quite well. Above my station, so I have that going for me. And you have to separate. You have to create some distance between your work life and your home life. You got to have that distance there, otherwise it can drive a little bit crazy.
Do you have children?
I do. Yep.
Would you want them to go into police work?
You know, it's funny. I have 2 little girls, and one of them dressed up as a cop for Halloween, and I had really mixed feelings about that. I don't know. I mean, there's part of me that thinks it's a noble profession if done right. But I know that it changes people. It makes them a little more hard-bitten than they were. So I have real conflicting feelings about that.
All right. I feel like we need to end on a lighter note here. What is it about people that makes them not grasp that you are dealing with a bank robbery in progress?
Right. Right. That's one of my favorite stories. We were posted up on a bank where we believe there are still armed robbers inside, and I had to tape up, and a lot of cops with shotguns looking sort of official, and a guy rolled up and said he had to use the ATM inside the bank. And I tried to tell him that was probably a terrible idea, and he seemed sort of put out by that. Who are we to keep him out of a bank even if he's being robbed? Some people, they just don't get it.
So the other theme that pops up through the course of this book, actually, I wanted to ask you about is the relationship that the police department has with the fire department.
Well, let me just front load this. I love firefighters. I have a couple of good friends on the Milwaukee Fire Department. There's sort of a friendly rivalry between cops and firefighters, and some cops may get mad at me for saying this, but I think there's a little bit of an inferiority complex. Sometimes the impression is that firefighters may be a little better educated than cops. They have better mustaches, for instance. So
the public tends to think of the firefighters unquestionably as heroes, and the verdict is out for a lot of them on police.
Right, right. Everyone loves firefighters. They have bumper stickers that probably proclaim they're firefighters. You don't see cop bumper stickers out there. But there is that rivalry, so I take a few sort of friendly pokes at firefighters, and if there's a firefighter book out there, they probably take some friendly pokes at cops too. We're all big boys and we can take it.
You mentioned that calling a firefighter out to respond to a situation might interrupt their 3-on-3 basketball tournament they're running out at the station.
Right, or surfing a match.com on the station computer.
Well, Adam Plantinga, thank you so much, and best of luck to you.
Thanks, Mitch. It was a real treat to be on the show.
Former Milwaukee police officer and Marquette grad Adam Plantinga is the author of 400 Things Cops Know, Street Smart Lessons from a Veteran Patrolman. Plantinga now works as a sergeant on the San Francisco Police Department.
Coming up next, ahead of a screening tonight of the film The Starfish Throwers, we'll learn how food insecurity is a public health issue, both globally and right here at home. So stay tuned. Lake Effect returns with that in just a moment on WUWM.